Okay, we're in Psalm 133 this morning. I would invite you to turn there. As we mentioned, we're nearing the end of our series. There's just one more psalm left after this. And so we'll do Psalm 134 next week on Palm Sunday. And you'll even see how Psalm 134 relates to Palm Sunday. It's very interesting how that all works out. But today we come to a psalm that speaks about living together in Christian unity. Last week, it's interesting to see how these psalms come together and how they build off of each other. Last week, we looked at a psalm that spoke about God coming to dwell with us. And now we come to a psalm that talks about us dwelling with each other, Christians living together in unity. This psalm is the fourth and last psalm in the Psalms of Ascent that is attributed to King David. This is one of the Psalms of David. The kingdom of Israel was united under David, and so it's appropriate that David would write a psalm about living together in unity. Last week, Psalm 132, we saw was an unusually long psalm for the Psalms of Ascent. But this week, we're back to a shorter psalm, as most of them are. And even though it's very brief, just three verses, it's probably one of the most beautiful descriptions of Christian unity that anyone has ever written. So, Psalm 133, please stand with me now for the reading of God's Word. A Song of Ascents of David. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, would you speak to us now through your word? And Lord, may the sweetness of this psalm fill our hearts with the sweetness of your spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Have you ever gone on a road trip with your family? Road trips can be really, really good, or they can be really, really bad, right? Now, I want you to imagine that instead of just packing your family into the car for the trip, how about if you decide to take along all of your relatives? Hey, let's bring the neighbors too, okay? We're just going to rent a bus for this road trip. We're going to go across the U.S., and we're just going to have a great time, right? How many of you signing up for that trip? And I see a lot of hands going down, right? Well, that's similar to what's happening here with the Psalms of Ascents, because what's going on? The people are traveling to Jerusalem for these feasts, and they're traveling with their neighbors and their family and their relatives. It's one giant road trip. And as they're getting closer and closer to Jerusalem, more and more people are joining them, right? From different regions, different tribes. Now you've got strangers together. But, you know, they're all coming together for one common purpose. They're all coming to Jerusalem to worship the Lord at his temple. And as we shall see, that is what makes all the difference when it comes to Christian unity. There are few things as precious in this world as believers living together in unity. One of the marks of a great church is that sweet sense of fellowship and unity that we experience in the body of Christ. So our psalm this morning tells us three things about living together in unity. You'll find them on your outline in the bulletin if you want to take that out to follow along. The psalm tells us about the goodness of living together in unity. It talks about the source of living together in unity. Where does that come from? And it tells us the blessing of living together in unity. So let's take a look at these three. First, the goodness of living together in unity. Verse 1. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It's good, it's pleasant, and it's appropriate for us as Christians. Why? Because we are brothers and sisters together in Christ. Now, there's another word in there in the Hebrew. Not all the Bible translations catch it. In the Hebrew, there's an actual behold at the beginning of this verse. Behold how good and pleasant it is. And it's almost as if the psalmist of David, as he's writing, is saying, look at this, marvel at this. I'm going to tell you something amazing, what I'm about to describe to you. And what does he say? Behold, living together in unity is both good and pleasant. First, That word translated good, it's a word that means something that's excellent, agreeable, something beneficial. In other words, this is something that is good in God's sight. He has put his stamp of approval on it. And then we have that word pleasant. And that's a word that means something that's beautiful or sweet or lovely. In other words, it's not only good in God's sight, but it's good for you too. Whether you're a family or a business or a church or a sports team, whatever, when Greek people come together, life is much more pleasant, much more enjoyable when everyone's getting along. And I like the fact that the psalm here says that it's both good and pleasant, because there are some things in life that are either one or the other, but not both. For example, the Bible tells us that discipline is something that is good, but it's not pleasant. Hebrews 12:11 says, no discipline is pleasant at the time. It's painful, but later on it produces a harvest of righteousness. So you have some things, they're good, but they're not very pleasant. Then you got some things that are pleasant, but not very good. Like too much honey, the Bible says. Or you can put in your favorite dessert. Might be good, but if you eat too much of it, boy, it felt good, it was pleasant, but maybe not so good. So some things are good, but they're not pleasant. Some things are pleasant, but they're not good. But when you're living together in unity, you get the best of both worlds. It's both good and good for you. And because it's good, that tells us it is a gift from God. Because James 1:17 says that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. The book of Acts gives us just such a wonderful description of the early church and the remarkable unity that we see among God's people. We read in Acts chapter 2, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. All the believers were together. They had everything in common. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. What a beautiful picture of unity in the church. That's the first thing we learn about the goodness of living together in unity. It is both good and pleasant. And then secondly, it is appropriate for us as Christians because we are brothers and sisters together in Christ. And notice the special emphasis of the unity that's described here. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. Of course, the people of Israel were the first ones to receive this psalm, and they were literally brothers. They were relatives of each other. They were descendants of a common father. But as Christians, we are also brothers and sisters. We've been adopted into God's family. We're one family. We share God as our Father. And so we are family together. No Christian is an only child. And as a Christian, you don't get to choose whether or not you're going to be part of the family of God. You already are. So the question really comes down to this. How will you live as part of the family of God? Will you live in unity or will you live in division? Now, this might come as a surprise to you, but brothers and sisters don't always get along. Did you know that? Did that ever happen in your family, right? Yeah, we find so many examples of this in the Bible. Cain killed his brother Abel. Not good. Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. Even Jesus' disciples got into arguments with each other when Jesus was right there. I mean, they're right there with Jesus and they're arguing. And as Christians in the church, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we don't always get along with each other either. There's an old poem that goes like this. To live above with saints we love, oh, that will be such glory. To live below with the saints we know, well, that's a different story. Now, here's a true story from the Fowler family annals. We were talking about road trips earlier. Well, we did some as a family. And when the kids were real young, we took a road trip from Florida up to Niagara Falls. And somewhere around the Blue Hill Mountains, the boys were really getting into it in the back seat. And I finally told them, I said, guys, you better shut it down. And I asked Rosie, I said, honey, why don't you read our devotion for the day? And so we were going through the book of Psalms for our devotions at the time. And you'll never guess what the psalm was for that day. She opens it up to that psalm, Psalm 133, verse 1. How good and pleasant it is when brothers, we had three boys, when brothers live together in unity. And boy, we laughed at that one. So brothers and sisters don't always get along. Sometimes we disagree. Sometimes we get angry with each other. But we need to work together to overcome disagreements and always, always love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Hebrews 13:1 says to keep on doing this. Keep on loving each other as brothers. That's our first part of this psalm. It talks about the goodness of living together in unity. Now our next part is going to go on to tell us the source of living together in unity. In other words, where in the world does this beautiful, good, pleasant, brotherly, sisterly unity come from? Or perhaps it doesn't come from this world at all. And the psalm answers that question by giving us two images, and they're odd images to us. The people who first received the psalm, it was in their culture, in their day, they would have understood immediately what the psalmist was talking about. We need to unpack the images a little bit in the 21st century. David says that living together in unity is like oil poured on Aaron's head. Okay. And living together in unity is like the dew of Hermon falling on Mount Zion. And you go, who's Hermon? You know, you go, what's this all about? But I want you to notice before we get into the images that there's a downward movement here in both of the images. In both of these images, there's a blessing that comes from above and then pours down on us. It starts high and moves downward. And what that is doing is it's telling us the source of our unity, that God is the source of living together in unity. It doesn't come from this world at all, but it is a gift of God's grace. So now let's take a look, closer look at each of these images. First of all, living together in unity is like oil poured on Aaron's head. Okay, verse 2. Like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. In this image, once we unpack this, it's really a beautiful image. It's one of those biblical images that just grows and expands in meaning. Every time you add another phrase, another word, there's just more meaning and meaning being added onto it. We begin with the oil. Oil was a valued commodity in ancient Israel. They didn't use it for gasoline or fuel like we do today, but it was used for cooking and also for moisturizing and refreshing. So oil was a good thing. So when we're comparing unity to oil, saying unity is something good. But this unity that comes from God is not just like oil, it is like precious oil. And the word that's translated precious here, it's the exact same word that was translated good back in verse 1, how good and pleasant it is, how good and precious this oil is. It's not any old oil, this is precious oil. It is excellent, agreeable, beneficial. It is good in God's sight, and he has put his stamp of approval on it. And then we go on, and it's like precious oil poured on the head. You go, well, what's that all about? Well, it's a picture of hospitality and refreshing. When you invite someone into your home today, what do? You offer them a drink. Can I get you something to drink? And get them a nice, cool, and refreshing drink out of the refrigerator. Well, in ancient Israel, you might also offer them something to drink, but you would also offer oil for their head because the climate was hot and dusty. And oil on the head would be a welcome relief. We see this elsewhere in Scripture, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. We get to verse 5, you anoint my head with oil. It's a sign of hospitality and refreshing. My cup overflows. So this is precious oil poured on the head, but it's also running down on the beard. What that means is this is not just a little bit of oil. Your host didn't come up to you and say, here's some oil for your head. And they just put a little dab there. It's like, man, you hardly know it's there, right? But this is oil poured out so richly, so fully, that it's even running down on the person's beard. This host who is giving this blessing of this unity is generous. He's gracious. He's not stingy. And the fact that it's running down, this is really the key phrase in the entire psalm. It appears twice here in verse 2. It's going to appear a third time in verse 3. It's translated a little differently, but it's the same word. It's translated as falling, the dew that is falling. In other words, this is what it's saying, is that God's blessings flow down to us. They run down to us from heaven. We looked at James 1:17 earlier. Every good and perfect gift is where? From above. Coming down from the Father, running down on the head, running down on the beard. Living together in unity, it is a good gift to be received from God. And so Christian fellowship is like what? It's like oil poured on the head, running down on the beard. It is precious. It is refreshing. It is a gift from God, and God is generous with his gift. He doesn't hold anything back. But wait, because there's more. Because the image shifts again, and now suddenly the oil's not just being poured on anybody's head, but now we suddenly learn that this is Aaron's head and Aaron's beard. And that's important because Aaron was the high priest. And God required that a very special oil was used for anointing the priest. You can look up the recipe if you want. It's in Exodus 30. It's all right there. It was a special blend of olive oil with different spices, myrrh and cinnamon and cassia and cane mixed in. It was a specific formula with specific ingredients and specific measures, and it was only to be used for anointing the priest and for the sacred objects in the temple. And the fact that this is now in our image, that it is a special sacred oil that is being poured on the head, teaches us that there is a very special fellowship among believers. It's unlike anything that we experience outside of the church. That Christian fellowship is unique. It is sacred because it is a fellowship that is united around Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's another reason why Aaron is pictured here in this image. Because Aaron was who? He was the high priest. And the anointing of the high priest with oil connects back to last week's Psalm, Psalm 132, which was all about God's promise of the Messiah. What do we say the word Messiah means? The anointed one. And so Aaron, the anointed high priest, points forward to Jesus here. Jesus, who is our great high priest and who is also the promised Messiah. And then the fact that the oil is poured on Aaron's head is another image that points to Christ. Because the New Testament speaks of Jesus as the head. Ephesians 5, Christ is the head of the church. And we are members of his body. And it's because Christ is the head, our unity is founded in him. We are united with Christ because we're all united with Christ at the head. That means we are united with each other. And that's what we see from the robe here. Because you notice that the oil is not simply poured on Aaron's head and running down his beard, but from there it runs down upon the collar of his robes. And the reason the robe is significant, because right underneath the collar where that oil is flowing, on either side of the robe, are the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And so this is a unity, a blessing that is coming from God through Christ to the people of God. It flows from head to beard to robes. It is an image of the whole body of Christ united together with Jesus as our head. And the Holy Spirit is present here also because oil in the Bible is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And what do we learn when we get to the New Testament? That God poured out his Spirit on who? On Jesus, the head of the church. And what did Jesus do when he ascended to heaven? He poured out the Spirit on his body, the church. We see because this is the oil that was poured on Aaron that had a sweet-smelling fragrance. It was a special sacred anointing oil. And it reminds us of the sweetness of Spirit-anointed fellowship in the body of Christ. So that's what living together in unity is like. It's like oil running down on Aaron's beard. It's also like the dew of Hermon falling on Mount Zion. This is verse 3 now. It's as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. So what's this image all about? Well, Mount Hermon is a mountain that's located in the northern part of Israel. It also extends across the border to Lebanon and Syria. It's the highest elevation in all of Israel. The mountain itself goes up over 9,000 feet above sea level. It was known for its cool nights, still is, and a very heavy, heavy dew. In the winter, it's covered with snow, but because of all of the moisture and all, even throughout the summer, the whole area around Hermon is just a beautiful, lush, and green vegetation. Now compare that with Mount Zion. Mount Hermon is up in the north. Mount Zion is located in the southern part of Israel. It's a much smaller mountain. Its altitude is only about 2,400 feet above sea level. And unlike Hermon, very little dew on Mount Zion. In fact, this whole area around Jerusalem, very little dew, rain, or moisture at all during the summer months, and everything gets brown and dry. So you got two very different mountains here, Hermon to the north, Zion to the south. Hermon towering over all the other mountains. You know, Zion, just a little mountain like the other ones in the range. Hermon, cool, refreshing. Mount Zion, hot and dry. So what an amazing thing it would be if you woke up one morning and the dew from Mount Hermon had come and settled all over Mount Zion. It would be amazing. And that is exactly what Christian unity is like. The word that's translated falling here, the dude of Hermon falling on Mount Sinai, we've already said it's the same word for the running down that we saw in verse 2. Once again, it's telling us that God's blessing comes down to us from heaven. Unity is something we receive from the Lord. And apart from God's blessing, we are like the dry and dusty and arid land of Mount Sinai. But then God sends his blessing upon his people like the dew of Mount Hermon. The dew here is probably another symbol for the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is essential to our unity in Christ. Ephesians 4 tells us, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love, and make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. The fact that Hermon and Zion in this picture, they're both united by the dew. The same dew that's on Hermon is now on Zion. It reminds us that as a church, we all are one. It's the unity of the great and the small, the high and the low, the north and the south, all brought together. It's a unity that crosses all human boundaries and divisions. Galatians 3:28 says, there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. Why? Because you are all one in Christ Jesus. James 1 talks about those who are high and those who are low. The brother in humble circumstances, the one who's in a low position, should take pride in his high position. But the one who's rich should take pride in his low position. Saying that doesn't matter what position you have in the eyes of the world, whether you are high or low in the world's eyes, in Christ we are one. It doesn't matter if you're tall like Mount Hermon or small like Mount Sinai. We have a special unity through Christ and the Holy Spirit. Dew is refreshing, and Christian fellowship should also be refreshing. We should leave church each Sunday energized and encouraged and renewed, charged up, revved up, ready to go. So what do these images teach us about living together in unity? Unity starts high, and it comes down low. It's a gift from God that comes down to us from heaven through Christ, who is the head of the body, and then to the church, the people of God, through the Holy Spirit. And it's special. It's sacred. There's nothing else like it on earth. We've talked about the goodness of Christian unity. We've talked about the source of Christian unity. Finally, let's talk about the blessing of living together in unity. Look at the end of verse 3 now. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. This verse teaches us two very important truths, that God gives his blessing where believers live together in unity, and that living together in unity is a foretaste of heaven. First of all, God gives his blessing where believers live together in unity. Do you want God's blessing on your life, on your church, on your family? Then you need to live in unity. Now, once again, this is not something that we can do apart from Christ. It's not something that we manufacture or make happen on our own. It's only available to us through Jesus Christ, the head of the body. And as we focus on Christ as our head and as we yield to the Holy Spirit within us, that's how we're going to know the sweet goodness of living together in unity. But even though it's a gift from God and only available through Christ, we still need to live it out in our lives. That's why when we looked at Ephesians 4:3, it said, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. So that means we need to love each other. We need to apologize when we've done wrong. We need to forgive. We need to reconcile. There is a special place that God has guaranteed to put his blessing. It's like, well, where is that place? I want to be there. It's the place where believers are living together in unity. And here that place is connected with Mount Zion, which as we've seen earlier in these Psalms, it's a symbol for the place where God meets with his people. The Psalms of Ascent, they're stepping stones to God's heart. It's all about climbing to meet with God. And when we meet with God and worship, what happens? We experience Christian unity. And God sends his blessing. The more we focus on him, on Christ, the greater our unity will be. Worship, unity, and blessing, they're all tied in together. That's why Paul could say to the Romans in Romans 15, he says, may God give you a spirit of unity. There's unity as a gift from God. among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Worship, unity, blessing, all together. When verse 3 says that God bestows his blessing there, that word for bestows, it's actually the same word that we find translated elsewhere. It's the word for commanding, for giving a command. You could even translate it that God commands his blessing to be there. Wherever believers are living in unity, when you can find that place where they're living together, God gives a command. He says, I command my blessing to be on that place. And you know that if God commands it, it's going to happen, right? It's going to take place. And so if you want to experience God's blessing, we got to live in unity. Because that's where God gives his blessing. And then finally, living together in unity is a foretaste of heaven. Back to Psalm 133, verse 3. For there the Lord bestows, he commands his blessing, even life forevermore. And folks, the fellowship that we experience in the church and as Christians together, as sweet and as beautiful as it is only a foretaste of the perfect fellowship that we will share with each other in heaven. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, now it is God who anointed us. There's the image of the oil again, right? He has anointed us and he has put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. It's a foretaste of heaven. As dew gives life to the vegetation around it, God's blessing also gives life. But dew is temporary and it passes away with the morning sun, but God's blessing lasts forever. A foretaste of heaven. So what does the psalm teach us when we put all of this together? It tells us that living together in unity, it's good, it's pleasant. It's appropriate for us as brothers and sisters in Christ. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are united together with Christ. He is the head of the church, his body. And God's blessing flows through Christ to us through the Holy Spirit. That Christian unity is God's gift to us. It comes down from heaven, flowing down like precious oil on Aaron's head, to his beard, to his robes, or like the dew from Mount Hermon falling on Mount Zion. That God pours out his blessing on his people as we worship him in unity and as we receive his blessing of life forevermore. And you see, as we ascend nearer to God and worship, as we follow these songs of ascent, and as we go together to meet with God and worship, God comes down to meet us and to pour down his blessing on us. In fact, the greatest blessing of all is simply drawing near to the Lord and having the Lord draw near to you in worship. How we need to practice unity in the body of Christ. In just a few moments, we'll be sharing the Lord's Supper with each other. And as Psalm 133 is a beautiful description of Christian unity, the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table, is a beautiful picture, a beautiful expression of our fellowship with Christ and each other. There's a song that we sing at the end of every Communion Sunday. It's a song about living together in unity. And expresses so well what we've been talking about today. You know the words. We'll sing them a little bit later in the service. Blessed be the tie that binds. See the word blessing there? Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds. It's a foretaste. It's like to that above. How good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this beautiful psalm. Lord, may it be true in our lives. May it be true of our church. Lord, may we live together in unity. And then, Lord, you've commanded that your blessing will be here. It's your good and gracious gift to us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.